It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The credit does get higher the more qualifying children that you have to claim. And again, those children must meet the requirements that I discussed earlier. To claim it with no qualifying children, your max credit is going to be $496. For a taxpayer with one qualifying child, your max credit is $3,305. For a taxpayer with two qualifying children, your max credit is $5,460. And for a taxpayer with three or more qualifying children, that's going to be a max credit of $6,143. So you can see how claiming this credit, and especially filing a return, even if you're not required to file one, and claiming this credit if you're eligible for it, can really give you a huge refund that can supplement your income for the entire year. Some taxpayers have been interviewed at different tax preparation sites, and that's exactly what they say. And a lot of them wouldn't be able to meet their monthly or yearly necessary living expenses if not for this credit.
Nancy Porcari, attorney at the Community Tax Law Project, explains the Earned Income Tax Credit that helps low-income workers keep more of their income through credits, resulting in a larger income tax refund. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn why state law enforcement does not have to hold immigrants for federal authorities to pick up. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 258, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. On January 5, 2015, Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring issued an advisory opinion opposing the enforcement of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, holds in Virginia. The opinion means that Virginia does not support detaining individuals otherwise eligible for release from police custody simply because of their immigration status. By enforcing ICE holds, law enforcement agencies were detaining people without cause, according to the Attorney General's opinion. Over the past year, with the support of the ACLU of Virginia, Virginia organizing leaders met with local sheriffs across Virginia to find out their positions on ICE holds and urged them to stop honoring these holds because they are a violation of the U.S. Constitution. Virginia organizing members made hundreds of calls to the Attorney General's office and had a meeting with him in November, asking him to issue an opinion that upholds civil rights. According to Attorney General Herring, quote, "It is my opinion that an ICE detainer is merely a request. It does not create for a law enforcement agency either an obligation or legal authority to maintain custody of a prisoner who is otherwise eligible for immediate release from local or state custody." End of quote. The advisory opinion took effect immediately. In other news, the new session of Congress is less than a month old, and already the U.S. House of Representatives has voted to cut Social Security benefits. On the first day of the 114th Congress, the House passed a rules change that will result in a 20% cut in Social Security disability benefits in 2016 and pits retirees against people with disabilities. The House is preventing the reallocation of Social Security payroll tax income from the Old Age Trust Fund to the Disability Trust Fund unless Congress either cuts Social Security retirement benefits for seniors or raises taxes. This reallocation has taken place 11 times in the past without disruption to Social Security benefits and would keep both trust funds solvent through 2033. The House now must allow an automatic 20% cut in disability benefits, cut Social Security benefits for seniors, or vote to raise taxes. There is a better way. Currently, Americans only pay into Social Security on the first $118,500 of their income. Someone earning $1 million a year and someone earning $118,500 a year pay the same rate as the rest of us. If we scrap the cap on earnings so that the wealthiest Americans pay taxes on all their earnings, we can extend the life of the Social Security Trust Fund and increase benefits for the majority of Americans receiving Social Security. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Community Tax Law Project, and we are speaking with tax law attorney Nancy Porcari, and we will be talking today about the Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC. Welcome back to the show, Nancy.
Thanks so much, Marty. Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. And would you explain to our listeners exactly what is the EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit?
The EITC is a refundable tax credit for working people who earn low or moderate incomes. The purpose of the credit is to offset taxes, to supplement low wages, and to be a work incentive. And because it is a refundable credit, not only can it reduce your income tax liability for the year, but it can also put money back in your pocket.
And I believe it's the largest transfer of income that we have in any federal government program, more than all of the welfare programs combined. So it's really important. Can you tell us who can claim the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Sure. First and foremost, you must have earned income to be able to claim the credit. So that would be wages, salaries, tips, net self-employment income. Additionally, you must fall within the income requirements to be eligible for the credit, as it is geared towards low-income individuals. So you must file as either single, head of household, or married filing jointly to claim the credit as well. You will not be eligible if your filing status is married filing separately. So if you're married, you're going to have to file jointly to claim the credit. You also have to be a U.S. citizen or resident alien all year, and you do have to have a valid Social Security number that allows you to work. Then the rules are vary based on whether you will be claiming the credit with a qualifying child or not.
So let's go into those two possibilities. First of all, what are the rules for workers who do have a qualifying child?
So to claim a qualifying child for the Earned Income Tax Credit, there's four major criteria that the child needs to meet. The first is the relationship. So the child needs to be your biological child or stepchild, foster child, legally adopted child, or a sibling, step-sibling, or one of their descendants. Then the child needs to meet one of the age rules, which means at the end of the filing year, the child was younger than you and under 19, or the child was 24 or younger and a full-time student. The third criteria to claim a qualifying child for the Earned Income Tax Credit is that the child must have lived with you for over half the year. And this is where some people might run into trouble. We've had some clients where the child lived with them for 5 months, 5.5 months. The IRS is very strict. It has to be at least 6 months or more. And lastly, the child must not file a joint return for the tax year unless the child and the child's spouse did not have a separate filing requirement and only filed a return to receive a refund. So usually that last criteria is not going to be so much of an issue as the relationship, age, and residency requirements.
So that takes care of the rules for workers who do have a qualifying child. What are the rules for workers who do not have a qualifying child?
So again, you must have earned income to be eligible for this credit. You must also be between age 25 and age 65 as of the end of the year. So you can compare this to the earned income credit based on having a qualifying child, in which there is actually no age limit. To claim the EITC without a qualifying child, you must also live in the U.S. for more than half the year, and you must not qualify as a dependent of another person. If you are claiming the credit without a qualifying child, you could receive a max credit of almost $500 for tax year 2014.
So you have used the phrase earned income a couple of times in your answer. Can you give us a list of what is earned income for the purposes of the earned income tax credit?
Sure. Earned income could be wages, salaries, tips, other taxable employee pay, union strike benefits, long-term disability payments received prior to the retirement age, also net earnings from self-employment, generally speaking. And I'll also tell you some items of income that would not be considered earned income for the earned income tax credit. That would be child support, TANF benefits, disability benefits, interest and dividends, retirement income, Social Security, unemployment benefits, alimony. All of these items, if that was your only source of income for the year and you did not have any earned income, then you would not be able to qualify for the earned income tax credit.
So what happens if a taxpayer has some earned income during the year and also some unearned income, one of those sources that you just mentioned in your list? Would they possibly still be able to qualify for
it? Yes, just because they had some income that was not considered earned income would not disqualify for them for the credit, as long as they did also have earned income during the year.
So how does a taxpayer actually go ahead and get the earned income tax credit?
So to claim it, you do have to file a tax return. That would be either a Form 1040 or 1040A if you're claiming at least one qualifying child. If you're not claiming a qualifying child, you can file Form 1040EZ. But the important thing here is that you do have to file a tax return to claim the credit, even if you do not have a filing requirement for the year. And you would claim the credit by filling out Schedule EIC and submitting it with your tax return.
So for the tax year 2014, which the filing is due April 15th of 2015, what are the EITC income limits?
Okay, so in order to claim the credit, because it is geared towards low-income individuals, the credit does cap off at certain income levels, and I'll go over those with you. The income cap for someone who is married and filing jointly with three children is $52,427. If you're filing a single with three children, it would be $46,997. Again, that's the income cap. And it sort of is a gradient and moving down towards someone with a lower income and claiming no children, the income cap would be $14,590 as filing single, or $20,020 if you're married filing jointly.
So as I understand, the amount, the income limit depends upon your filing status, whether it's single or married filing jointly, and it also is going to depend on essentially the number of people who you're claiming as dependents. Are those two the only two things that count in terms of whether you are above or below the income limits?
Yes, that's correct. So the IRS is going to be looking at your adjusted gross income, your filing status. So if you're filing jointly, your income cap is going to be a little higher for the earned income credit. And if you have more children, your income cap is going to be a little higher as well.
And you used the phrase adjusted gross income. So those income limits that you just mentioned, is that your gross income before you start subtracting anything out? Is that the income limit? Or is the income limit the what you just said, adjusted gross income.
Yes. So it's the adjusted gross income, which means after you total your income for the year, that would be your gross income. And then there are some deductions that you can take, such as, you know, student loan interest or half of your self-employment tax. If you had self-employment during the year, those things would be deducted before your adjusted gross income is determined.
So I gather the message here is that if someone's just a few hundred dollars a year, or maybe even a thousand or two a year above that limit, they shouldn't give up. They might still qualify with the adjusted gross income.
Yes, it's possible.
Okay, so that's what the income limits are. So for tax year 2014, what is the maximum credit for the earned income tax credit?
Okay, so the credit does get higher the more qualifying children that you have to claim. And again, those children must meet the requirements that I discussed earlier. To claim it with no qualifying children, your max credit is going to be $496. For a taxpayer with one qualifying child, your max credit is $3,305. For a taxpayer with two qualifying children, your max credit is $5,460. And for a taxpayer with three or more qualifying children, that's going to be a max credit of $6,143. So you can see how claiming this credit, and especially filing a return, even if you're not required to file one, and claiming this credit if you're eligible for it, can really give you a huge refund that can supplement your income for the entire year.
And for a lot of people, I'm told that this is the single largest check that they're going to get in an entire year. Do you find that to be true for folks?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, some taxpayers have been interviewed at different tax preparation sites, and that's exactly what they say. And a lot of them wouldn't be able to meet their monthly or yearly necessary living expenses if not for this credit.
Now, one of the things that sometimes happens with any type of a tax refund is it can be intercepted by the federal government. Either you owe back taxes or you owe perhaps some debt to the federal government. Is this earned income tax credit coming back as a refund, is that susceptible to all of these offsets and such?
Yes, it would be susceptible. It is a part of your total refund. So if you do owe money to the IRS or even to other federal agencies or state agencies, it's possible that your refund could be intercepted before you actually are eligible to receive it.
But at least if that happens, the debt you owe the IRS or some federal agency, at least that gets lowered, possibly paid off entirely.
Yes, exactly.
So if the IRS denied your earned income tax credit last year for whatever reason, but a taxpayer feels that he or she may qualify this year, what should that person do?
You need to file a form to recertify if you were denied the previous year based on qualifying children. So the form you would need to file is Form 8862 that you would file with your tax return to recertify so that you could again be eligible for the earned income credit. And I think the thinking here is just that the IRS is really trying to stop a lot of people that are claiming the credit, even though they are not eligible to claim the credit.
So in other words, you may have been denied last year because the IRS determined, for example, the child did not live with you for half of the year. But now it's clearly true for this year, so you have to file that form to show the IRS that you may not have qualified last year, but you definitely qualify for this year?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so how does the IRS actually figure the credit?
The credit is basically figured on a bell curve. So lower income individuals with more children are going to get a larger credit, but eventually the credit does phase out at those income caps that we discussed earlier. If you wanted to try to figure out what your credit may be, there's actually an EITC assistant on the IRS website at irs.gov that you can use to try to determine what your credit would be. Or you can also use the Earned Income Credit Worksheet that accompanies the instruction booklet for your 2014 tax return.
Okay, so what happens if you are prohibited from claiming the Earned Income Tax Credit for a period of years?
Usually that happens because IRS either determined that you made some sort of reckless or intentional disregard of the EITC rules, or you even took it a step further and you were fraudulent in claiming the EITC for a tax year. And in that case, IRS can deny you for 2 years or even 10 years. So really, they're trying to dissuade fraud with the EITC. So in that situation, there's no form that you can use to help recertify you. You're just going to have to wait out the ban.
And what would cause the IRS to prohibit you from claiming the credit for 2 years as opposed to 10 years? And is there any disqualification or prohibition other than the 2 years or the 10 years?
The IRS is going to review cases on a case-by-case basis. So they're going to look at the facts of each particular situation. If they feel like you intentionally, disregarded the rules, maybe you met most of the rules, but one of them you knew you weren't going to qualify and you claimed the credit anyway, that may fall under the reckless or intentional disregard of the rules, which would be a 2-year ban. But if the IRS determined that you were downright fraudulent, meaning maybe you even stole someone's Social Security number and you tried to claim them for the credit, that's going to be the 10-year ban. And those are typically the two bans that the IRS is going to impose. So it is different than if you were just denied 1 year and the IRS didn't pursue, any further bans against you. You could recertify with that form 8862. But if you get one of these bans based on either the reckless or intentional disregard of the rules or fraud, you're going to face a much more severe penalty.
All right. So as we discussed earlier, the tax refund based on the earned income tax credit can very well be the largest check that workers get in an entire calendar year. So the question then becomes, is that refund from an earned income tax credit or perhaps some other credit like the child tax credit, is that considered income under federally funded public benefit programs?
It is not. So refunds received from the EITC are not considered income for any federal or federally funded public benefit programs such as Medicaid, Supplemental Security Income, SNAP or Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, low-income housing or most cash assistance payments received through TANF programs.
And what if that money is then not considered income the month it's gotten, but it's available as a resource the month thereafter? Would it be counted as a resource in the following month, even though it wasn't considered income the month it was received?
No, to my knowledge, these state programs do not factor in the earned income credit as income for the year. A lot of times they may ask for a copy of the person's federal income tax return to determine their income level, but they're going to be looking at the gross income or the AGI in making any sort of determination about income, housing, or Medicaid, etc.
So it's just income that you get from the government, but it doesn't have to be reported to anybody else as far as you know.
Exactly.
Okay. So where can people get more information about the earned income tax credit?
Well, first off, they can call us, the Community Tax Law Project. We provide free legal assistance to taxpayers that have issues with the IRS or with the Virginia Department of Taxation. But we also do provide some brief advice. So if someone had any quick questions they wanted to ask, we could certainly assist in that as well. There's some great information that's also available on the IRS website at irs.gov about the earned income tax credit and the different criteria for claiming the credit. And we're actually coming up on EITC Awareness Day, which is January 30th. So hopefully those listening find this information helpful and can also share it with others that may be eligible to claim the credit.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Nancy Porcari at the Community Tax Law Project about the earned income tax credit and providing information about the EITC Awareness Day, which is coming up in 2 days, Friday, January the 30th. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Marty.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every First Run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegebright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. It's tax season, and not knowing the tax laws could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when Nancy Borcari from the Community Tax Law Project offers tax tips for the 2014 tax year and for your income tax filing due April 15, 2015. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegebright.